It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And when they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. I love this verse. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told. That is why we're here this morning, right? Not because of a fat man coming down your chimney tonight, but because Jesus Christ, the Lord, has stepped out of heaven, put on flesh, and dwelt among us to become what we could not. To be who we would not, to pay what we would never. And that's why we're here this morning. I want to open with a story to illustrate this morning. In 1980, you might have known this story, or maybe you followed this or watched this happen. In Mount St. Helens, in a massive mountain, exploded with more force and more power than all of the bombs dropped in World War II combined. In just a moment, a few minutes, the mountain dropped 1,300 feet in elevation as a superheated cloud of debris blasted out the side of the mountain, 300 miles per hour, going 20 miles from the summit in just 3 minutes. It was something that had never before been seen on in the United States and in modern history. And just a few seconds after the tsunami of superheated debris blasted out the side of the mountain, a huge cloud of ash and darkness and lightning shot 80,000 feet into the sky, blocking out the light of the sun and raining down over a billion cubic yards of ash on the city and the forest and everything around it. You know, anything within just miles of the summit was completely obliterated in a moment. Further out, the forest was flattened and things were seared under the heat of the air. It was something that was unbelievable to behold, so unbelievable to wrap your mind around. I was a few weeks ago, I was sitting up and I was reading some articles, and asked me how I come across this, I have no idea, but I came across an article about this eruption, and I saw this picture. I want to show it to you. And I screenshot this picture, and I held on to it for this morning, because as I began to ponder what I was seeing, I saw Christmas in it. You see, what you're looking at is a family, the Christensen family, and the husband is taking the photo, and his wife is the one standing in front of him, and they had just summited a mountain called Mount Adams, about 30 miles away from Mount St. Helens, the moment that the mountain exploded into the background behind them. And so from their vantage point, the article said it would have been completely silent to them as they watched something unbelievable unfold before their eyes. And it stopped them in their tracks. And she sat down in the snow, and they were just struck at what they had witnessed. And as I looked at this picture, I said, man, that is a great idea of what we behold at Christmas. This is what's playing out right now. You've come this morning. You've put on your some of your Christmas best. Some of your kids, you rolled out. You got your PJs in. You know, you got them here. You've made it. You've pushed off maybe it's another round of Home Alone. Maybe it's another errand that you really should be doing. But you're here this morning. We come and we behold Christ at Christmas. And what we're doing is beholding and remembering and pondering and standing in awe of an event infinitely more powerful and more beautiful than any mountain exploding. We're talking about the moment when heaven exploded onto earth and a baby was laid in a manger. This is what we're doing this morning. This is why we're here this morning, to behold the birth of Jesus. A night filled with anticipation and hope. We've been talking about this throughout our series. A moment that was pointed to by the prophets. A moment that was promised by God. A moment that, as this mountain laid 120 years silent before it exploded, the birth of Jesus was a moment where there was silence for 400 years. 400 years, and then all of that changed when Jesus stepped into our reality and reshaped not just the landscape around the nativities of your home, but reshaped the course of all human history and eternity for all those who believe. This is why we can celebrate this morning. You see, we're here this morning to behold Jesus. And there's a lot that's going to compete for the attention of your kids and your heart over the next few hours. And we have to fight back to remember why this moment's significant to us. You see, instead of simply surviving Christmas and just maybe just arriving at it tomorrow, we want you to treasure it, to adore it, to behold it. And so this morning, I got three quick ideas I want you to hang on your heart. Like those ornaments on your tree, three quick ideas I want you, as we behold Christ this morning, I want you to see and behold Christ the Lord, Christ the Lamb, and we'll finish up our gathering with Christ the Light. All right? Christ the Lord. You know, before the mountain blew, there was a man named David Johnson. He was a scientist who had studied this mountain, Mount St. Helens, and he had actually lived on a base camp about 5 miles away from the summit of the mountain. And he had been studying the activity on it. He saw that the earth was shaking, that things were moving, that it was about to happen. And so he spent the end of his life warning everyone that would listen that something was about to happen, right? Something's about to go down. He was stationed at this base camp 5 miles away, and he was the first one to record the blast. He was working from a radio station back in Vancouver, and so when it all went down, he jumped on the radio, and his last recorded words was, "Vancouver, Vancouver, this is it." And then he was swept away. Merry Christmas. Right? He was swept away in the blast. But, you know, it's just like that scientist calling out for someone to listen, for someone to see what he saw. There was another man that the Bible says spent his life in ministry trying to wake the world up to the reality of what went down at Christmas. His name was John the Baptist. We meet him in John chapter 1. And the Bible says a lot about John the Baptist, that he was a man that came to prepare the way for the king. The Gospel of Matthew said he came preaching a message of repentance, telling the world that the kingdom was at hand and that we need to make ready for the child who would be born and who indeed was born. The prophet Isaiah said that this man, John the Baptist, it spoke of him before his day, saying, "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." You see, John's life and ministry was spent waking the world up. He knew the tendency of our hearts, the tendency of your heart, the tendency of the kids in the room's hearts right now is to look into our nativities, to behold Jesus swaddled in a manger and keep him there. Right, that we love Jesus, the 8-pound, 6-ounce baby wrapped up in a manger, but we want to leave him there and miss him for what he truly was, and he is truly king. He knew that we'd miss him as Messiah, so he calls out in verse 29 of chapter 1 of the book of John something powerful for us to behold this morning. He says this, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As you read this, you can almost hear John saying, wake up, like your kids in the morning, right? Like, wake up, mom and dad, something's happened. Something incredible. Get up, we're ready to go, right? Like, this is what you can see. You can hear the urgency on his voice. Wake up, don't miss this. Right, the king is here. He doesn't want us to miss something beautiful this morning. And so because he doesn't want us to miss it, he says, behold it. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, John the Baptist knew his Bible. He knew the writings of Isaiah. He knew the promises of God in Genesis 3:15. He knew that that there would be a promised child who would crush the head of the enemy. Right? He knew that his name, Isaiah said his name would be Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so as John the Baptist, from his vantage point, looked back on the event of the manger, he saw something more for us to behold this morning. It wasn't just an unfortunate circumstance of some overcrowded town, right? It wasn't just a podunk pack and play in that manger. It wasn't just some kind of Christmas decoration merely. He looked at the manger and saw it was the anointed crib of Christ the Lord. Jesus is Christ the Lord. He is Lord. He's Lord, but what about you this morning? What do you see when you look back? From our vantage point, from where we stand in human history, as we look back on the events of the real Christmas story, what do you see? What do you behold this morning? Is Jesus simply laying there, a baby, cute, and something to add to the tradition that we truly behold? Or are you floored? Stopped in your tracks by the God of galaxies wrapped in human flesh. See, Jesus is Lord. And he wants, John, in this passage, wants to peel the Christmas paper off your eyes for a moment this morning to behold him as Lord. And listen, this goes to the second point. Because he's Lord, he can say what he said. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He couldn't do that if he wasn't Lord. So he starts there, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the reason for the season. No matter what you've sung or believed or watched for the last month, the reason for this season that we are celebrating, the reason we have a good and right tradition to get up, put our best on, and get our butts in church on Christmas Eve is because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, we don't celebrate just because Jesus was born, but because from our vantage point, we see the manger through the lights of the resurrection and the crucifixion. It's just like the tree in your house. It's cute, it's cool, smells good, but what makes it beautiful is what's wrapped around it. This is also true of the manger. See, the birth of Jesus is an amazing event, but what makes it truly amazing isn't because a good man came, but because a good man came, lived, died, and was resurrected. John knew that the one coming after him, Jesus from Nazareth, was God in flesh. So again, he could be what we could never be and do what we could never do. He would become the perfect, sinless sacrifice that could fully satisfy the wrath of God that stands against your sin and my sin. And to get our minds around this, we have to understand that every one of us comes into this world with a problem bigger than what's on your Christmas list or what you're going to unwrap tomorrow or what family members are going to occupy your kitchen or what meal you still got to prepare and put together, right? We have a problem much bigger. And this is the problem, right? Every one of us are born on the naughty list, right? Every one of us are. We're sinners who rebel against God. We turn our backs on God. We try to grinch God's glory. We peek under the wrapping paper early and we lie about it, right? We get angry. We overcook the meal. We lose our cool in Christmas traffic. Anybody guilty? All of us are. Right? We all are is what the scripture says. And here's the point I want to make sure you understand. This is why this floored John like a hiker on a mountain looking back at Mount St. Helens. He was so in awe by the reality that God is perfect and we are not. And he has done something to make imperfect people right with him by nothing that we merit. By no merit of our own. You see, when Israel was in Egypt, when they were in captivity, God required a sacrifice for their sin. He told them to kill a one-year-old spotless lamb, to take the blood, rub it over your doorpost. And God would pass over the homes of those marked with the blood. When Israel came out of Egypt, Moses let them out. God gave Moses the law. The law required that year after year after year, families would take sacrifices, animal sacrifices, to atone for their sin. Right? So it's just year after year, this perpetual activity that they had to do to appease God. And what John understood, when that day when Jesus walked in to Galilee and he locked eyes with him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What he saw in Jesus was God, but not just the Lord who was the Lamb who can take away the sin of the world, the Lamb that all the lambs pointed to, like the better Lamb. The perfect Lamb, the Lamb who became sin, although he knew no sin, so that we might have the righteousness of God in him. And so listen to me this morning, church. If there's anything in this season that we should push back against in order to adore, in order to behold, in order to celebrate, anything that should stop us in our tracks for a moment in the middle of the chaos of your life right now, it's this reality. That we have the Lord who is the Lamb who takes away the sin for those who believe. So we're going to do just that. The band's going to come, and we're going to do something that we call the Lord's Supper, the communion. And our ushers are going to go ahead and begin to pass the elements. And our band wants to create, they're going to create a space for us to behold Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The scripture tells us that this is only for those who believe, for those who have beheld Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you have kids with you who have not yet done that, it's great. This is going to be an awesome opportunity for you to have a conversation at lunchtime today with them. Well, we'd ask that you withhold from them participating in this Lord's Supper. And you guys can go ahead and begin to pass that. And as this comes around, here's what I want you to do. The scripture calls for us to examine our hearts to see if there's anything in us that we've that's getting in the way of us beholding God for who he is. To look and search our hearts to say, what's under the lights and the paper of my heart? What's there? For us to confess our sins before God, to look onto the true and better Lamb. So I want to give you some space to do that as this is passed around and the band begins to play. You're not going to sing with this. Just let these words wash over you in this moment. Maybe you want to bow your head and close your eyes. If you can do that and take care of 3 or 4 kids in the aisle with you, you do your best. But let's stop in this moment. Let's be floored by the reality that we're seeing take place, that we're remembering has taken place. So you spend a few moments there, and then I will come back up and I'll lead us through it.
We walk in darkness deep, now see the light of morning. Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, a child to us is born. Behold the Lamb of God Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God, who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God, who comes to take away our sin. Wanderers in the wilderness, now hear a voice is crying. Prepare the way, make straight the paths. Your King has come to die. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God, who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God, who comes to take away our sin. God, Son of Man, behold the Lamb, the hope of man. Behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the light and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God, who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God, comes to take away our sin.
Well, on the night Jesus was betrayed, he met with his disciples in the upper room. And in their midst, like the tables that some of you will sit around tonight or tomorrow with family, he sat with those who loved him, and he lifted the bread up in their midst, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which will be broken for you." And indeed it was, church. Take and remember his sacrifice. Amen. In the same way, he lifted the cup up in their midst. He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, be poured out for the forgiveness of sins." And his blood, his body was broken. His blood did pour out upon the cross, so that by looking upon the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, by faith and faith alone, we can be made right. Take and remember. Behold it. Amen. Well, at the beginning of the book of John, John says something about Christ that is truly beautiful. I want to read to you as we close our gathering this morning. He says, "In him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." He says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John," John the Baptist, who we've been talking about today. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. You see, John the Baptist, the one who said, "Behold the Lamb of God," the one who was floored by the reality of Christmas, understood that Christ was Lord, Lamb, and light. And his great desire, and our great desire here at LifePoint, is that if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, that you would understand that in him and him alone will you find life. It won't be in what you're hoping for under a tree. It's not going to come at the expense of some material possession. It's not going to come through financial or family bliss. It doesn't happen that way. True life, life abundantly, comes through the person of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we want to invite you to know him. And here's what's beautiful. As much as is really beautiful about Christmas and merry and bright, there's also a whole lot of dark and heavy. Amen. Some of y'all are walking through that. Some of y'all have come in here with some heavy things, some dark things. And what I find we do at Christmas, sometimes we flatten the story. We flatten the message. And it's so deep and it's so rich and it's so real, especially when you're walking in darkness. And so in a moment, I'm going to light the Christ candle. And from there, I'm going to light this candle. And then I'm going to begin to pass the candlelight around this room. If you have kids, they picked a bag up on their way in the doors. It has a little candle in there. It's a little LED candle. And you just tighten the back of it, I mean the bottom of it, and it'll light up. We've already got my man back here. He's ready to go. And we're going to pass this light around. But I don't want you to miss this. For whatever you're walking through, whatever dark moment, whatever dark situation in our world or in our life, no matter if it seems as though we look on the news and the lights are out, or maybe the bulbs in our own life have burned and not even flickering anymore, when we hold up the light of Jesus, when we believe and behold the Lamb of God has come to take away the sin of the world, it puts all of that in perspective. When we behold Jesus at Christmas, man, the world looks on hopeless and broken and dark, and we have the ability to shine a light to the ends of the earth of the goodness of our God. And I pray you do that today. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to leave this place. We're going to light these candles. We're going to sing like no tomorrow. We're going to go home. We're going to be surrounded with friends, family. We're going to lift our glass. We're going to laugh. And we're going to show the world a truer and better Christmas. Amen.